Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church at Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
Morning, Las Vegas. This is John Racine with the Church at Las Vegas. Thanks so much for listening to the broadcast this morning. Those of you who get up each week at 7 o'clock to listen, I know that's an investment of your time. And if you're here with us for the first time, thanks for joining us this morning. Also wanted to thank Lotus Broadcasting for being able to share the Word of God each week on these radio stations. And I certainly appreciate that very much. Hey, before we get started with this week's material, I just wanted to remind us that this Friday, November 11th, is Veterans Day. It's Veterans Day, and this is a national federal holiday that honors persons who have served in the United States military forces. All right? It actually marks the anniversary of the ending of World War I hostilities, way back on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month of 1918. So this has been around for a while. Now, previously, it was known here in the United States as Armistice Day. But in 1954, it was renamed Veterans Day. Now, the difference between Veterans Day and Memorial Day is this, as far as I understand it, that Veterans Day celebrates the service of all U.S. military veterans, while Memorial Day specifically honors those who have died while in military service. But today we just want to say thank you to all of you who have served in the United States military forces. Thank you for defending our country. Thank you for being a part of defending our freedoms. I personally am grateful for that, and I know all the rest of us should be as well. And so thank you for that and your service. Let's open our Bibles to James chapter 1 this morning. James chapter 1. And remember, we have been really kind of breaking this down pretty specifically in verse 21, where James writes, James, the half-brother of Jesus, writes to God's people and says, "Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you." Wow, that means we've got to get rid of the old and bring in the new. And yet we can't do that in and of ourselves. We need God's help. And so we've talked about that the last several weeks. But I want to focus on the second part of this and move on, that says, humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. You see, the Word of God continues to help us to live by faith, because in the book of Romans chapter 10, the Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so our faith comes from the Word of God, and that's why it initially leads us to salvation in Christ, and then it continues to help us to live by faith. And it helps us to continue to stand on the solid rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And it continues to set us free and keep us free from the things in our life that would hinder and entangle us in sin. And so humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Now, let's move on to verse 22 and on. It says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. All right, so before we jump into this, let's listen to our first song this morning. This is a song by Mid-South called Give What It Takes. Now, this is more like a country song, and I guess since Wednesday night was the CMA Awards, that we'll get a little country song in here. But this is a good song by Mid-South that you got to give what it takes. In other words, you can't just sit around and do nothing. You can't just listen. You got to act. You got to put into practice the things of life. You got to give what it takes to accomplish and make things happen. So let's listen to Mid-South sing Give What It Takes. We're back this morning, and let's just jump right in here in James chapter 1 and verse 22. It says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Now, remember that James is the half-brother to Jesus, and even though his family didn't all support and approve and everything else of Jesus' ministry, in fact, in some ways they thought he was crazy, but they would have heard about and possibly heard themselves and maybe had him teach some of them these things firsthand, the things that he taught him. And I want you to realize that over here, right at the end of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7 and starting in verse 24, Jesus says something very similar to what James is saying here. My son Stephen shared a message with the church quite a few weeks ago on a Sunday night from this passage, but listen to how Jesus finishes off his Sermon on the Mount. He says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock." Okay? Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. You see, Jesus is using an actual a house that's built on a good solid foundation of rock. And what happens when the weather, the natural forces of nature come against that house? It stands, okay? Because it has a good solid foundation on the rock. And he's saying, you know, I'm not talking just about the house. That's just an illustration. What I'm saying is that if you'll listen to these words of mine and put them into practice, that's like the wise man who built his house on the rock. Now, he goes on to say, verse 26, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Again, he's not just talking about a shoddily built house on a bad foundation. He's using it as an example of saying, look, if that's what you build your life like, it's going to be just like the house that crashed down. Your life is going to be in shambles and in ruins. And so Jesus is saying, listen to his word and put his word into practice, and you'll be like that wise man who built his house on the rock. If you listen to his words and don't put them into practice, it's like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Do you see all the contrast there between hearing and putting them into practice, in contrast to hearing and not putting into practice? And then the wise man, the foolish man, one built his house on the rock, one built his house on the sand, and the one foundation, the house stood firm, and the other came crashing down with a great crash. And so we want to be people that have a choice, yes, but we've chosen to not just listen, but to put into practice. It seems like there's a lot of times where people don't even want to listen to what Jesus says. And then sometimes when they will listen to what he says, they're not willing to put into practice the things that they've heard. They want to resist. They want to, no, I don't want to do that particular thing or another particular thing. And let me remind you of something right now, that the Bible is not just about what Jesus said. Okay, one of the things that's happening in our society recently, and it's been going on for a while, but I just seem to hear it more and more, is something called a Christological fallacy, that only what Jesus said is what matters. Okay, yes, what Jesus said was what Jesus said. It's why it's in red letters. He's the Son of God. We've talked about at the beginning of Hebrews where in the past God spoke to people through the prophets and in various ways and in different ways, but in these last days he's spoken to us by his Son. But Jesus also appointed apostles and chose them and mentored them and raised them up, and the Holy Spirit came on them to guide them into all the truth. And especially even after all those things, the Apostle Paul was chosen. And the writings and teachings of the apostles are also a part of that foundation that we are not just to listen to, but put into practice. In Ephesians chapter 2, it talks about in verse 19, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. And so I want you to know that not just what Jesus said, but also what the apostles said are a part of the foundation of life that we're to listen to and to put into practice. And so that's why James says, back in James in 1:22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Okay, there's that deceive again. Okay, nobody likes to be deceived. You would be very upset if somebody deceived you, especially if it was on purpose, that they just did it on purpose to get you. Now, it's bad enough if somebody accidentally deceives you, okay? But if somebody did it maliciously on purpose to hurt or to get back or whatever else, that's not fun to be deceived by somebody else. But how much worse is it to be deceived by yourself? And that's what James says. You can't just listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. We need to do what it says. Now, this is where it's important for us to rightly divide the word of truth. Because as we've mentioned before, God didn't tell us to build an ark, did he? Okay? God didn't call us up to the top of a mountain to give us tablets of stones with writings on them to give direction to the nation of Israel. You know, God didn't call us to do certain things that the apostles did. But God has called us to live by faith. And God has called us out of the world. He's called us out of darkness and into light. And there's the expectation, and really, frankly, on our part, the obligation to live that kind of life out of love for what Jesus has done for us on the cross. And so I think it's so important that we realize that we can't just listen, but we have to do what the word says. Now, let me give you one specific example before we listen to our next song. One of the things that God's people really ought to be doing, practicing on a very consistent basis, is praying. Prayer is conversation with God. It's about relationship and fellowship and recognizing and acknowledging God's there, being thankful and grateful and casting our anxiety on him and asking him for wisdom and strength and being able to confess our sins to him. And in so many ways, if we're not praying to God, it's like trying to use our cell phone without plugging it in. I mean, we'll work for a while, but sooner or later the battery's gonna die. And so we need to be a people that practices prayer on a continual basis. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5, pray without ceasing. Have an attitude and a demeanor, a walk of prayer where we're just kind of constantly in tune with God. And then other times where we specifically pray and we take time out and say, listen, I'm going to spend this time in prayer for this specific thing. And the Bible even encourages us to fast and pray, to do without food or some kind of other thing that we really enjoy, to do without that for the specific purpose of focusing on prayer. And so here's one of these things where the Bible tells us over and over and over, the Lord Jesus told us to pray. And yet, if we just listen to that and say, oh yeah, I know I should pray, and I know the Bible says to pray, but we don't practice it, then we're really deceiving ourselves because we're not doing what it says. We're building our lives on the sand. We're being foolish. And when there's no connection with God in prayer, that's where many times our lives start crumbling around us. And we wonder what's going on. And so that's just one specific practice that I want to remind you about again, encourage you to do. And let's listen to our next song this morning by Petra called What If His People Prayed. And it shouldn't be what if, but it's like, what would happen? What does happen when God's people pray? But the song is to encourage us to say, hey, what if God's people really prayed? What if we all put that into practice? What if we just didn't kind of hit and miss in it, but that we were all very much people of prayer? Let's consider that as we listen to Petra sing, What If His People Prayed.
What if the armies of the Lord picked up and dusted off their swords, vowed to set the captive free and not let Satan have one more? What if the church, for heaven's sake,
Back this morning, and what a powerful song. What if his people prayed? And so again, we're talking about the fact that we are not merely to listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but to do what it says. In Colossians chapter 3, when it tells us in chapter 3 to put to death whatever belongs to our earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. He says in verse 8, "But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator." Remember in James, where we talked about getting rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent? Here, Paul, writing to the Colossians, is saying, you know, rid yourselves of these things. And so he's saying, take off the bad, get rid of the old ways, put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature. But then consequently in verse 12, it says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If anyone has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." And so some Sometimes people think that the Bible is just full of don't do this and don't do this and don't do this and don't do that. And they think it's just all a bunch of don't. I want to let you know that there's lots of do's in the Bible. It says, do this, clothe yourselves with this, get rid of that, clothe yourselves with this. In other words, get rid of that and put this on. And as James says in verse 22, don't just listen to it, do it. Okay, don't just listen to it, but do it. Okay, I can't stress that enough. If that's the only thing you get out of this message this morning, this lesson, that when we read the Bible, when we listen to the Bible, when we correctly, accurately divide the Word of God and handle it correctly, then we are not going to just listen to it. We're going to do what it says. And we need to take an inventory of our life and ask ourselves, are we doing what the Word of God says? If we're not, then can we really say that we love God? Can we really say we love His Word? Can we really say that we're concerned enough about what Jesus did for us on the cross to do what He's asked us to do and to not do what He's not asked us to do? It's something to really seriously consider, because I think a lot of times people think that religion is just about, oh, I believe in God, or, oh, I believe in Jesus. And they might even believe that the scriptures are the Word of God, but that's not going to do anything for you unless that translates into the way you think and the way you live. And that's why James is saying that again, one more time. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Do what it says. Now, this is where some people try to, you know, grab verses from the Old Covenant. Okay, they try to grab verses that applied to the physical nation of Israel back in those times, and those laws and principles and precepts were given to them for a specific purpose. Now, sometimes the heart and the morality and the holiness of those laws still applies in many of the things that the apostles and Jesus himself calls us to do and how to live. Okay, some of the specific things that were part of the old law back then, it's been done away with. It's obsolete. It's been taken out of the way. But the principles of godliness and holiness and righteousness are found in many of those laws. And yet we're not saying, okay, well, you have to follow all of those laws. Listening to the letters of the apostles and listening to the teaching of Jesus, and we have to even be careful with that sometimes, because Jesus was talking and teaching sometimes to people who still lived under the first covenant, to his own people, the Jew. And so it's very important to rightly divide or accurately, correctly handle the Word of God. But again, one more time before we leave, it's not just having it. It's not just listening to it, but it's doing what it says. Hey, we're out of time this morning, but thanks so much for listening. We're going to continue on here in James next week in verse 23. Until then, we encourage you to come visit us at the Church at Las Vegas. We're at 3388 South Decatur Boulevard, right in between Spring Mountain and Desert Inn. We meet Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6, and also Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. We'd love to meet you. We'd love to have you come and worship with us. Also, you can find out more about us on our website, thechurchatlasvegas.com. That's thechurchatlasvegas.com. Encourage you to go there and check that out as well. Hey, have a great week. Do what the Word of God says. And until the next week, Lord willing, keep standing on the solid rock, the rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God.